I'm Paul Foster for WNCW Public Radio, and welcome to this week's Friday Feature Interview of the Week. Lots of important conditions that affect lives and health are being focused on this month. For instance, Mental Illness Awareness Week is going on right now, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but October is also National Domestic Violence Month. And that brings us to our guest this week, Dana Mangum, the Executive Director of the North Carolina Coalition Against Domestic Violence, headquartered in Durham. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Paul. I enjoy being here.
Dana, give us some background on the North Carolina Coalition Against Domestic Violence.
Sure. We are a 30-year-old agency. There are two main things that we do as a coalition. We make statewide changes within systems to be able to protect victims and hold perpetrators accountable. And then also we do service for the 100 domestic violence agencies that are in North Carolina. There's approximately one domestic violence service provider per county, and we provide them training, technical assistance. We do prevention and intervention programs for them to institute within their community. And then we do statewide policy. So we develop and modify and change laws with legislators around domestic violence.
Dana, what do the latest statistics on domestic violence look like when we talk about the state of North Carolina?
North Carolina is very similar to the statistics with what's going on nationally. Generally, one in four people are affected by domestic violence. In North Carolina specifically, to date in 2017, we've had 58 homicides related to domestic violence. That's people who have been killed as a result of some type of domestic violence situation. That's pretty much in line with previous years. In 2016, we had a little spike. We had 82 homicides related to domestic violence. 2015, about 69. We're usually in the 60s, unfortunately, and I have to say, since I've been in this role, I've seen it pretty consistent, and I think over the years, over many years, it's been consistent.
And Dana, that's what really becomes scary when you talk about the actual loss of life, that the problem has gone that far and that deep.
Absolutely. You know, many people think of domestic violence as a spat or something between two people that they can resolve on their own and should resolve on their own. But quite honestly, it's a public health issue. People who are victims of domestic violence have more chronic diseases, have shorter lives, not only because of the homicides, because it affects their body physiologically to have shorter lives. In addition, there's issues around, you know, we've heard the latest mass shooting in Las Vegas. There's a lot of statistics out there that show that generally most mass shootings in U.S. are related to domestic violence. About 54% of mass shootings involve a perpetrator shooting a current or former intimate partner. It's really a public issue, and given both of those points that I just made around health and ongoing health and also mass shootings, there really should be more prevention efforts and funding for prevention efforts around domestic violence.
There are many types of abuse, aren't they? It seems like I had even read once about finance abuse. Name some of those, if you would.
Yeah, when most people think of domestic violence, they imagine a situation where an abusive partner hurts a victim. And that is the most recognizable form of domestic violence. But there are things such as, you mentioned, the financial abuse, and that's probably the least obvious. And that takes on lots of different forms, such as a partner preventing the other partner from attaining an education or a job outside of the home. It's also very common when families have pulled their money into joint accounts where there's little or no family support system also to help. It's just another form of control, and that's what domestic violence is all about, is power and control. There's also psychological abuse, and that's a wide variety of behaviors really that fall under an umbrella, but it's preventing the victim from leaving the house, threatening the victim with emotional blackmail. Of course, there's sexual abuse and physical abuse. Again, they're recognizable forms as well.
This is the WNCW Friday Feature Interview of the Week as we focus on domestic violence. We're speaking right now with Dana Mangum, the Executive Director of the North Carolina Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Dana, what kind of advice would you give to someone going through this problem and steps that they might take in trying to become free from something that in most cases I would assume certainly can wear on an individual mentally and physically?
I would say right away to be empathetic and supportive. Being supportive means don't ask what the victim does to bring it on. Also, keep in mind that the victim is in a situation where they're being overcome by power and control. So it's really important as a listener to let the victim determine what they think that their next step should be. I would encourage them to call their local DV agency when they're ready to take the steps of leaving their abuser, because leaving the abuser takes a lot of strength and courage to navigate away from that situation. So they need to get the confidence to navigate away from that situation. Most importantly, they need to develop a safety plan with an expert. I mentioned earlier that there's one domestic violence agency per county. I would recommend that person contact their domestic violence agency to speak with an expert to be able to develop that safety plan.
And what would you say to someone who is a family member or a friend or coworker to someone that they are pretty sure is going through domestic violence? What kind of steps can they take?
I would say just very similar steps, whether it's someone who is a loved one or a friend or someone, you know, a neighbor who's seeking a supportive ear, same type of thing, to be empathetic, supportive. Don't tell them that they should do X, Y, and Z. Let them determine what their next steps are based on their situation and really encourage them to talk to a professional at a domestic violence agency.
How could someone reach out to the North Carolina Coalition Against Domestic Violence and learn more?
We have a website, nccadv.org. It tells a lot about what we do, how we support the state and across the state, especially with laws. We are actually doing a fundraiser this month. This is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, in which we would like to be able to have donations go towards our advocacy efforts so we can continue to change laws. All donations specifically will go to that. So I hope people can come to our website and be able to take a look at that. Any information on our website, too, for our people who are fear that they're being abused or would like to look into information for a loved one. There's lots of information about safety plans, resources in North Carolina, what they can do from a legal perspective. I hope that people can go there if they're in need of help.
October is National Domestic Violence Month. The Friday feature wanted to bring awareness of this. We hope it will be of help to someone out there listening. Thanks to our guest, Executive Director of the North Carolina Coalition Against Domestic Violence, Dana Mangum. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Friday feature is also available as a podcast at our website, which is wncw.org. Have a good weekend. I'm Paul Foster.